The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to talk about today, while you guys are hopping on, if you're new to the broadcast, we welcome you here on podcast, we welcome you on YouTube, we welcome you on Facebook Live. Again, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know in the comment section below, and under the comments of Facebook, and you guys also on YouTube, let us know if you're new to the broadcast. I want to share a devotional word today that I received yesterday while I was studying in my own devotional, and it's a passage out of Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to talk about when obedience and hunger collide. When obedience and hunger collide. Acts chapter 8. I don't want to spend a lot of time, guys. I'm going to give, hopefully I can be done with this in 30 minutes, but get to the point of encouraging you and really challenging you today. I hope this is a challenging word to you as well. Acts 8, 26 through 39. I'm going to read this passage of scripture, and then we're going to see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit spoke to Philip and said, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Some translations say, "Go to the chariot and overtake it." And then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And Philip asked, and the man said, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come in and sit with him in the chariot. The man was reading from the passage of scripture out of Isaiah that read, quote, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way, or what forbids me from being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop on this story. There is a revival that has broken out in Samaria. Philip is right in the middle of this revival. There's signs, there's wonders, there's miracles. There's people are giving their heart to the Lord. There's a mighty revival that's shaking Samaria. And right in the midst of this revival, an angel of God speaks to Philip and tells him to go to down a deserted road, a deserted path, uncharted territory, a place that had not been, pioneered, if you would, and tell him to go somewhere that Philip probably did not want to go, that didn't even, in his own natural reasoning, didn't make any sense. But I want to show you something. I want to show you 6 points today of what happens when obedience and hunger collide. Number one, Philip was sensitive to the Holy Spirit and obeyed the Lord when an angel of God appears to him and speaks to him to go to a certain place. Your Bible says in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" So notice, here's Philip. He's serving God. He's being an instrument that's bringing about revival in Samaria. God is moving through the hands of the apostles, moving through Philip as one of them. They're seeing demons cast out. They're seeing healings manifested. They're seeing miracles take place. And then all of a sudden, an angel of God appears to Philip. And he says, "Philip, I need you to leave where the fire's burning." because I've got a mandate for you. I've got an appointment for you. I've got an assignment for you. And when you get there, you're going to know what it is. I'm going to reveal it to you. I'm going to give you revelation of what it is. Notice that Philip, listen to me, Philip didn't argue with the Holy Ghost. Philip didn't discredit the angel. Philip didn't be, he wasn't like Jonah and run the other way. Philip obeyed. Somebody say he obeyed. He walked in obedience. He obeyed the Spirit of God and he did exactly what the Lord told him. Number two, as when he got to his location, notice God didn't tell him what was going to happen on his way. Notice God didn't tell him what was going to happen before he got there. Notice God didn't say, I was going to have you speak to this person. I was going to have you say this. I was going to say do that. And it's going to be at this exact hour. And it's going to be a person of influence. It's going to be a person of position. It's going to be a person of great wealth. No, the Lord did not give him any instructions but go. Oh, I come by to tell somebody today, well, listen, when we serve God, when we're truly sold out to God, when we give our heart to Jesus and we ask Him to use us, don't expect God to show you every little piece of the puzzle. Don't expect Him to have it all figured out for you. And not that He don't have it figured out, but that you don't have it figured out. Now, don't expect Him to give you all the directions. He's not Google Maps. You're not going to push a button and God's going to lay it all out for you turn by turn, stop by stop, destination by destination. He's not going to show you it's going to be this long, this many miles, and it's going to happen this. You're going to come to this rest stop. You're going to go to this refreshing station. You're going to run into this pothole. You're going to run into this snag. He doesn't show you that. And the reason why that is because we would not be quick to obey if we knew the full picture and all the details that we're in the in-between, in the fill-in-the-blanks. So, it was when Philip got there, when he got to Jerusalem, when he went through Jerusalem and got to Gaza, when he got to a place he probably didn't want to be, and got to the location that he was obedient to the angel of the Lord that spoke to him to go, it was then, listen, your Bible says, on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. This was not just an Ethiopian. This was a man of stature. This man was an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Ethiopians. So this man had wealth, he had position, he had power, and he had influence. But it's interesting that this man, even though he had the power, he had the prestige, he had the influence, he had the wealth, and he had the position, he was hungry for God. He was hungry for more of God. Listen, the people under him probably was not aware that he was hungry for God. They was probably not aware that he was a Bible reader. Come on, somebody. They didn't know that the Ethiopian eunuch was a Bible thumper. They didn't know that he was seeking after God. They didn't know he was hungry after more of God. See, and you know what the Holy Ghost spoke to me today? I gotta tell you something today. It's going to make some folks mad. See, we like to put God in a box in our own theology, in our own denomination, in our own reasoning, in our own understanding of how he's going to reach people and how he's going to reach them. And as long as he reaches people the way that we've got him figured out how he's going to do it, and the denomination in which he's going to use, and in the methodologies in which he's going to use that we're familiar with, and how he's going to do it, then we're okay with God reaching people on our terms. But the moment that God steps out of our reasoning, steps out of our understanding, steps out of our denomination, out of our little church, out of our little experience, and out of our little thought process, the moment that God steps out of that and he begins to reach people and touch people that we have already marked off, that there's no way God can reach them, they're untouchable, they're unreachable. I'm talking about, listen, in case you ain't figured out what I'm trying to say here, I'm trying to say, just dream with me for a second if you would. I know some of you all, I know some of you are bold enough to pray for an awakening and revival to shake industries that no other Christian will dare to step into. Come on. We will only preach to Jesus when it's in our little neighborhood. Or if it's people that we're comfortable with. It's our aunts and our uncles and our cousin and our brother and our sister. And it may be some classmates here and there. And it might be our neighbor that we've known for 30 years. And it may be the restaurant waitress. But can I tell you something? As much as God wants to save the cashier at Walmart, and as much as he wants to save your neighbor, and as much as he wants to save your messed up daddy, your messed up mama, your messed up cousins, and your crazy uncle, God also wants to reach some people that nobody else wants to reach, and that the people's wrote them off. I'm talking about the people in Hollywood. I'm talking about the musicians. I'm talking about the celebrities. I'm talking about, you know, the untouchables, those people that no Christian would dare to believe for. But just dream with me for a second. What if by chance, I'm not saying, and I want to say this for a second. This is not my whole thesis of this message. This is not the whole basis on this, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit pricked my heart on this when I was putting this message together. And I know Kanye West has gotten a lot of flack recently, and I know Justin Bieber's got a lot of flack recently because, you know, everybody's got, they're quick to judge them, but I'm going to tell you something. We have been believing God. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm preaching to myself today. But I know there's been times that I have prayed in the secret place. God, Lord, invade Hollywood. Invade the music industry. Invade the celebrities. Touch them in, come on, touch them in Hollywood, California. Touch them in on the West Coast. Touch them in industries that other Christians can't get in because it's locked, barred, and secured. There are, where all the devils are, where it's the darkest, where there's all the witchcraft and all the sorcery, and where the Illuminati is deep and headlong deep in it, where there's Freemasonry and witchcraft, where it is so dark in that place. God, raise up lights and raise up salt and raise up a city upon a hill. Just dream with me for a second, if you would. Look, and let me just throw this disclaimer out there. Listen, I am not stupid. People think I'm an idiot because I don't address certain issues. Listen, I am fully aware of the power of the music industry. I'm fully aware of the deception and the darkness of Hollywood. I am fully aware of the Illuminati and the NWO and all the other, these other organizations, these dark organizations that everybody wants to throw out there. I am very well understanding of this. I'm learned in this and I know about this. But what I'm trying to tell you is, listen, and I know this could be a publicity stunt on Kanye West's part, and I know this could just be him promoting his new record and his new album, and this could be all a show, and this could be all phony and fake, and I know it could be, and I know that we're to righteously judge, and we're to judge fruit, and we'll know them by their fruit. I am very well aware of that, and I fully understand that, but just dream with me for a second. What if, just say what if, come on, somebody say what if. What if God is actually answering radical prayers and intercession of believers, and because most Christians can't get in from the outside, what if God is raising up somebody from the inside? And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, listen, Saul of Tarsus was not an outsider, my friend. He was an insider. Golly, Saul of Tarsus was not an outsider trying to get in. He was an insider. Come on, that God was trying to raise up to get outside. See, nobody, he was trying to get some other Pharisees and some other religious leaders to open their eyes to the true revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were so steeped in their tradition, so steeped in their religion, so steeped in their denominational traditions that they would not receive it. So God reached down on the inside. Come on. I know you, some of y'all don't want to believe this, but I believe it's possible that God's raising up some insiders. You know, some folks that are willing to be obedient. And listen, and I'm going to lose half of you just talking about this, but I'm going to preach it anyway because I don't really, listen, I've never really given a rip about what people think and I never will. And I'm just going to keep preaching it anyway. But I'm going to tell you something. I know people that know some of these people. And I'm going to tell you, some of these people, you can judge them all you want, and you can frown on them, and you can make your snarky comments all you want, but I'm going to tell you, there's some people in Hollywood, there's people in the music industry, there's celebrities, there's actors and actresses that are truly hungry for the real Jesus. They may be looking in the wrong direction. They may have the wrong number. They may be calling the wrong God. They may be barking up the wrong tree. They may be going to fortune tellers. They may be going to soothsayers. But I'm going to tell you something. They're hungry for a real, genuine encounter with a real God. And here is a Ethiopian. Y'all think I'm off the text, and y'all think I went off the entire message, but I didn't. I'm going right back to the text and to the message in which I'm preaching today. I'm telling you that here is a man of influence, a man of power, a man of position, a man of prestige, a man of wealth. He's a somebody of somebody, and that nobody else could get to this guy. But here's a guy who's in the middle of revival, and God knew I can just reach Philip. If I could get a hold of Philip and I can get him to listen to me and pay attention to me, if I can tell him to go down to where this man is and give him a revelation knowledge of who I am, then I can raise up an insider. Oh, see, what y'all don't know that you probably don't know is y'all don't get the rest of the story. According to a lot of early church fathers, it's wrote about this and some other writings on this. When I studied this out, this Ethiopian eunuch, once he gave his heart to Jesus, he went down into the lower parts of Africa and began to testify what the Lord had done. And God raised up a mighty awakening and revival in Africa because of this man who was an insider of great influence and great wealth. See, we think that God can only use nobodies, and God can never raise up somebodies. But what, dream with me for a second here. Just dream with me for a second. What if God is breaking out of the box and he's raising up the insiders? Just dream with me for a second. What if he really is raising up Justin Bieber? Oh, he would never dream. And listen, and you guys, listen, everybody thinks that these people, anybody. Listen, I dealt with these folks when I first got saved. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all got some of these people in your church. Some of y'all might be listening to this on podcast or YouTube or Facebook, and you might be these people. But you have this expectation of people when they give their heart to the Lord or they get saved, you expect them to have a life that's squeaky clean. Come on, you expect them, they give their heart to Jesus on Sunday, and you have an expectation that by Monday morning, they're going to stop smoking, they're going to stop drinking, they're going to stop doing drugs, they're going to stop cussing, they're going to stop going to the club, they're going to stop going to the bar, they're going to stop doing all these things that they spent years and years and years doing and practicing when they weren't serving God, but they were serving the devil. Friends, that is the most ridiculous standard that anybody could put on anybody. Friends, listen, I've been serving God for 19 years, and I'm going to tell you something. I've not fully arrived yet. And can I give you a news flash? Neither have you, because we are all a process in the making. We are all, come on, walking through sanctification. We are all being separated and set apart for His glory. And we move and we operate from faith faith to faith, to glory to glory. It's ridiculous for me to expect my four-year-old to have the same knowledge, comprehension, motor skills, language, walk, and talk as my 11-year-old. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're listening today. I'm just saying, what if? Dream with me for a second. What if God truly is touching Justin Bieber? What if he truly is touching a Kanye West? I mean, the guy, if it's true, guys, if it really is true about Kanye, and he's saying that I'm done with secular music, and I'm only going to use the gift that, by the way, God gave him and not the devil. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all don't want me to preach real talk here tonight. The devil didn't give him the gift of communication and music. God gave him that gift. The problem was, God gave Kanye the gift, but Kanye was serving the wrong master for years and years and years. But what if God's really touching him? And now he's raising him up from the inside. I'm just saying, what if? Are we going to be able to embrace that? Or is this too much? Is this breaking your box of religion? Oh, after all, if we go to the early church, when a Saul of Tarsus had a road to Damascus encounter, after all, there was even some among his own group that did not believe his conversion story. Read your Bible. They wouldn't even let Paul preach with them because they did not believe his conversion was authentic. And I'm going to remind you, your Bible says that when Paul was immediately converted, the first thing that hallelujah, thank you, Holy Ghost. The first thing that happened was scales had to be removed from his eyes. Listen, for 23 years, I served the devil, and the devil put scales over my eyes, scales of immorality, scales of swearing, scales of lust, uncleanness. Come on, pharmakia, drug use, blasphemy, the Lord's name. It goes on and on and on. These scales were deep on my eyes. But through a process, God began to break the scales off my eyes. Just like Saul, he had the encounter on Damascus, but then his eyes were blinded and the scales were removed. And do you know what it says about Saul? It says the first thing that happened is for three years, he went on the backside of Arabia. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He didn't care what everybody thought. He didn't care what the leading rabbis taught. He didn't care what Caiaphas thought. He didn't care what they thought. He didn't check with them to see if his encounter with God was authentic, because it didn't matter what they thought. It mattered what he thought. It was between him and God. See, I don't care what y'all think about me, because at the end of the day, I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to be saved by you, because there was only one individual that radically changed and transformed my life, took the scales off my life, and is walking through the sanctification process with me. And it's not you, and it's not a denomination, it's not a leader, it's not a bishop, it's not an organization, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what? I applaud, if it's true about what Kanye is saying, that he's renouncing the mainstream and he is embracing the cross, and he's going to use the gift that God gave him to now use for his glory. As believers, we should be applauding that. We should be cheering him on. Well, I think it's suspicious, Brother Rick. Listen, they said the same thing about you, dummy, when you got saved. You know how many of my friends came to me when I gave my heart to Jesus? Listen, I don't know. Listen, and I could be wrong. And 3 months down the road, we find out that this was all just a scam from Kanye just to get record sales. And if it is, that's sad. But you know what? That's not going to change anything. I'm still going to pray for him. I'm still going to intercede for him. I'm still going to be. Why? Because that's what I'm called to do. But I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, those who really knew me, they begin to say things like, oh, that's not real. He's just going through a phase. that he's just religious now, and 2 weeks he'll be back. Come on, 3 weeks from now he'll be smoking bud again. Come on, a month from now that'll all wear off. He'll be back in the bar with this. He'll be back in the club with this. He'll be back doing what he was doing. But guess what? It's been 19 years and it still ain't wore off. I never went back to the club. I never went back to the bar. I never rolled back up another, come on, joint. I never picked up back up another bottle. I've never fornicated again from that point on. What I'm trying to tell you, friends, is we can't put God in our own little theological box and try to confine him. I'm trying to tell you, I'm back in the text here. I'm trying to tell you, when obedience meets hunger, come on, we cannot paint a picture of what we think it's going to look like, because God's going to break that every time. We want revival and we want awakening, but only if it meets our standards. Only if it looks like the way we want it to look like. So, listen to this. Number two. Philip went down. He saw this man. This man was a man of position. This man was a man of wealth and the whole nine yards. But listen to this. I love this. Philip was not intimidated by this man's position. He was not intimidated by his ethnicity. He was not intimidated by his occupation. And he was not intimidated by his status. See, some of us, if the Lord spoke to us and told us to go to a Bill Gates, come on, or a Steve Cook, or a Warren Buffett, or a Kanye West, or a Justin Bieber, and say something, we'd be, oh, no, I can never speak to them. After all, they're so-and-so, and they're on this status and on this level, and you know how wealthy they are? Do you know what? They're the richest person according to Forbes magazine. Listen, God don't care about that. You know why? Because he sees in secret what we don't see in public. Why everybody was looking at the outside of this Ethiopian eunuch, God was seeing behind the scenes. He was seeing that this man was hungry for a true encounter with the true living God. God saw that this man had a Bible open and reading about Jesus. So watch this. Now let me go to number three. What God knew that Philip didn't know was that this man, that leads me to number three. This man was hungry for more of the Lord and was set in his chair reading the book of Isaiah on his way to the house of God for worship. Listen, you never know, guys. The boss that you got that you can't stand at work, you don't know what's going on. You don't know if they slipped into your church and sat in a back row. You may never know. They may have been sitting in a back row through a whole Sunday service at your church, and you never knew they were there, and the seed of God was being planted in their heart because they're hungry for God. What you don't know is when you were at the lunch table witnessing to Mary and to John over here about the Lord Jesus, your boss may have been over at the refrigerator getting his lunch out, and he overheard what you said, and it planted a seed, and it made him hungry for God. But because he was afraid of his position and his status and what he may lose if he confessed Jesus, he kind of kept it to himself. But at home, if nobody else is looking, he's looking for his Bible, and he's hungry, and he's calling out for more of God. We don't know, guys. So again, let me go back to this Kanye thing. If it's true about what Kanye is, if it's true about him renouncing the industry and doing what he's doing, I'm going to tell you something. That takes a lot of courage. If this is really authentic and this is true, friends, that is more courage displayed than most Christians I've ever seen in my own life. Most Christians would compromise. Oh, I'm going to make some people mad today, so you can go ahead and get off the broadcast if you want. Most of y'all won't even talk about Jesus at your work because you're afraid you're going to lose your job, lose your position, lose your friends, lose your circle, lose your club buddies, lose your bar buddies. Because, listen, a lot of Christians are schizophrenic anyway. Come on. They've got two groups of friends. They got their church friends and they got their bar friends. They got their church friends. They got their club friends. They got the friends that they talk sanctified, but then they got the friends that they can be really them and they can really be themselves and let their tongue talk like they want to talk. Huh? Come on. But I'm going to tell you, it exhibits a lot of bravery for a man to come out and say, I'm risking my whole career to follow after Jesus. If it's true. Just today, guys, an article came out and Brad Pitt said years ago, he said, I am a confessed atheist. He confessed he was an atheist. But now he's come out and saying, I'm not an atheist. I'm just rebellious. What's happening? Is there seeds being planted that we don't see? Is somebody on the inside, come on, reaching some people that nobody else can reach from the outside? Is a real awakening happening? I don't know. I pray that it is. And I pray to God that some of you all would take off your religious, pharisaical mask for just a minute and dream with me and pray with me and intercede with me and believe that God is not impaired and he is not restrained by Hollywood or by the music industry or any other industry out there. Now listen. Number four, the Spirit of God gave Philip radical instructions that required radical obedience. Write that down if you're taking notes. Number four, the Spirit of God gave Philip radical instructions that required radical obedience. What are you talking about? Verse 29. The Spirit of God told Philip, go to the chariot where the Ethiopian is, overtake the chariot, and ask him, what are you reading? And the man says, and then he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I unless someone interpret it and explain to me what these things is? I'm telling you, friends, it's going to take radical obedience through radical instructions. And when hunger, listen to this, when hunger meets obedience, you're going to see miracles like we read about right here in the book of Acts chapter 8. Because what was the result? When the man said, I'm reading the portion of Isaiah, he reads it to him. Philip begins to expound the scriptures to him. And as a result of it, what did the man say? The man said, stop the chariot. Stop. The man had authority. He said, stop the chariot immediately. They slammed on the brakes. And he says, there's a lake. There's a body of water. There's a mud puddle. There's a stream. There's a lake. What's permitting me from being baptized? I'm going to tell you something. This man had a $4,000. I know I'm going to preach this message how I want to preach it, so don't you get mad at me. This man's got a $4,000 Armani suit on because he's a man of wealth, prestige, and position. He's riding in a chariot with, 22-inch gold-plated, spoked rims. Come on, tinted windows, air conditioning, leather seats. This man is the Warren Buffett of his time. This man has great wealth. And he's so hungry for God. When Philip was obedient with radical instructions that he gave this man, when the revelation knowledge, this man was already hungry for God. Your Bible says he was on his way to a worship service. So he was already seeking God. But I love it that God intervened before he ever got to the service. God showed up. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you get hungry enough, God will show up before you get to the place where you think you got to meet him to get your breakthrough. Oh, you ain't listening to me. I said the woman with the issue of blood said to herself before she ever left the house, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She was probably on her way to a meeting to find Jesus, but it just so happens while she was on the way, she just saw saw him passing by and said, I don't have to wait till I get to a meeting. I can just touch him where he is. A man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming. He didn't let his statue hinder him. He didn't let his circumstance hinder him. He just said, I'll just use what I got. He climbed to the tree and got the attention of Jesus, and Jesus stood still and he stopped where he was. A man by the name of Nicodemus, was a religious leader of his day. He snuck out in the middle of the night. He snuck out in the middle of the midnight and pulled Jesus aside and said, look, I know them jokers want to have you killed. They want to crucify you. They want to say that this is all blasphemous, but I'm going to tell you something. I have seen it all. I've been in this thing for years, and ain't nobody got what you got, Jesus. Ain't nobody casting out devils. Ain't nobody raising the dead. Ain't nobody healing the sick. Ain't nobody touching coffins and little boys getting up. Ain't nobody touching people with fevers and they getting up out of the bed. Ain't nobody rolling away stones and people dead 4 days and stinking and getting up with grave clothes. There's got to be something more to you than just a religious rabbi and leader of the day. Come on, I'm telling you, God, if you're hungry enough, if somebody's hungry enough, listen to this, I feel him right now, whether you feel him or not. If there's somebody hungry on this podcast, hungry on this YouTube channel, hungry on this Facebook post, I'm telling you, you'll begin. It don't matter what people think. You'll push people aside. You'll jump over this. You'll begin to get out from the expectations of what people try to put on you, the denominations and this and that and the whole nine yards, and you will make radical steps to have a radical encounter with God. And I've got to tell you this, guys, listen to this. Number five, this man's hunger for the Lord brought his divine appointment, and it can happen to you, and it can happen to me, and it can happen to anybody. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And number six, and I'm going to close with this. Number six, sometimes all it takes is a simple act of obedience for revelation to come to a situation. Let me say that again. Sometimes all it takes is a simple act of obedience for revelation to come to a situation. All this man needed, the hunger was already there, the pursuit was already there, but all he needed was somebody to come along and give him the final piece of the puzzle. This man, no doubt, was reading passage after passage. He was reading about Jesus in Hosea. He was reading about Jesus in Amos. He was reading about Jesus in Isaiah. He was reading about, he had a piece of puzzle here, and he had another piece there, and it was another piece here, and it was enough of the pieces of the puzzle that it sparked hunger in him. And he was hungry for a genuine encounter with God. And while he was on his way, at the same time he was on his way to a worship service, God was speaking to a man all the way down in Samaria. And he says, Philip, go meet, I want to take obedience, and I wanted to meet hunger tonight, and I'm going to show a miracle. I'm going to show a breakthrough. And because, listen to this, guys, one simple act of obedience resulted in a revival breaking out in a whole continent. See, oh, come on, somebody. Philip already had revival in him in Samaria, and what he did was take the flame that was already burning and he spread it to a man, an Ethiopian, and that man took the flame back to Africa and he spread it through the continent. You know what that's telling me, friends? All it takes, come on, where are my dreamers at? Where are my dreamers? All it takes is one person at your job to catch on fire. Why not you? All it takes is one person in your family to catch on fire, to change your whole family lineage. Well, Brother Ricky, you don't know about my family. Alcoholism runs in my family. Drug abuse runs in my family. Addictions run in my family. Yeah, but you can draw, you can get radically saved. You can get radically transformed by God. You can experience the power of the Holy Ghost, and you can change the whole future and destiny of your family tree. Come on, somebody. You don't know my church. It's dead out of water. There ain't been a move of God in years in it. Okay? Then get in your prayer closet. Begin to call down the fire of God. Begin to seek after God. Get hungry for God. Get on fire for God. Go in and spread the fire in your church. You don't know. Come on, somebody. What if somebody in Hollywood caught on fire for God? Somebody in the music industry caught on fire for God? We don't know. Maybe it wasn't Kanye. Maybe it wasn't Justin Bieber. Maybe it wasn't Brad Pitt. Maybe it wasn't somebody that keeps coming to the forefront. Maybe it's a nobody behind the scenes that nobody will ever meet. But it's somebody, it's an insider. Come on. Come on, there's all this controversy on the news about a whistleblower on the insider. It's amazing how a person with a no name and a no face can cause this much drama. But I'm going to tell you, a no name and a no face can shake the very kingdom of hell from its foundation and begin to plunder hell and begin to fill the halls of heaven with souls that we may never meet on this side of heaven. Come on, come on. I'm telling you, some of y'all is going to get to heaven and you're going to stand before some folks that you never would expected to be in heaven, and they're going to come up to you, they're going to hug you, they're going to embrace you, and they're going to say, thank you for praying for me, and you're going to say, I never met you in my life. And you're going to say, I know you never met me, but you kept calling my name out before God. You kept calling my name out in prayer, and you kept believing God to touch me. You kept believing that I would have an encounter with you. And what you didn't know, that on this side of heaven, is there will come a day, there come an hour, there come a season when finally one day something came on me. I can't explain it, but something overpowered me to pick up a Bible. When I picked it up, all of a sudden revelation came and I began to see Jesus for who he was. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. That's the God I serve. I don't serve this little God that we've got figured out and that you've got figured out. I serve a God whose ways surpass our understanding. I serve a God who wills that none perish and all come to repentance and the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, it's time for radical obedience to meet radical hunger. And as a result of that, we're going to see some extraordinary things. Come on, who's with me today on this podcast, this YouTube message, and this Facebook message? If that's you today, listen, if this has done anything for you today, I want you to respond right now. Maybe this has pricked your heart, and maybe you're like Philip. You want to be like Philip, and you want to have a heart that's sensitive to the Lord, and you want to be obedient, and you want to say, Lord, use me. You want to be like Isaiah and say, here I am, Lord, use me. Lord, touch me that I can touch somebody else, and I'll be obedient. I'll step into the dark places that nobody else wants to. I'll step into the bar. I'll step into the club. I'll step into the music industry. I'll step into that place where nobody else would dare to chart on uncharted waters. But use me in radical obedience, because I'm telling you, friends, you may not think it, you may not believe it, and it may not look like it, but there is some hungry people out there, and everywhere we go, in every place that the soles of our feet tread upon, we just got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And if we'll be obedient and we'll be radical with the obedience that God's telling us to do and be obedient to what he's calling us to do, I'm telling you, when hunger and obedience collide, you never know what your testimony can do. You never know what your act of obedience can do. So, Father, I just pray for every individual under the sound of my voice right now. Lord, you know who be watching this today by podcast or by YouTube, by Facebook. And, Father, if this has touched their heart, this message has encouraged them, Lord God, it's stirred them up. And, God, that, Father, that maybe they can relate to Philip, God, that you're calling them to go into some places, uncharted waters, that nobody else wants to go. God, then raise them up. I say raise them up, God. Raise up the Saul of Tarsus. Raise them up to be a Paul. Raise them up in this hour, God, and call them to do what you've called them to do in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for every person. Lord, we lift up Kanye West. We lift up Justin Bieber. We lift up Brad Pitt. We lift up the Kardashians and all these individuals that everybody wants to write off and say that it's hopeless and there's no hope for them. Lord, we don't believe that. I don't believe that. And I believe where there's a beating heart, there is a chance that they have to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. So Father, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, guys, so forgive me for lying. I went an hour. I did not want to go an hour, but you know what? I don't make any apologies for the message and the word that was given today. Listen, if you'd like to support our ministry, if this ministry, it continues to bless you, encourage you, inform you on a weekly basis, I want to give you an opportunity to support this ministry. You can do that under Facebook Live, under the comment section. There's a place that says support and follow. You can do that right there. If you're listening by podcast, by YouTube, the instructions for this will come at the end of this broadcast. If you wish to subscribe, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can go there and you're going to see where to subscribe as well. So again, we appreciate you guys for your prayers, your support, and your partnership to this ministry. And until we see you again, guys, we're going to try to actually be back on here tomorrow. It's going to be a little different this week because we've got things going on Wednesday. I'm ministering this Thursday in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm ministering there at a church there at Churchman's Chapel in Louisville, Kentucky. And then Friday, I'm going to a concert with Chris Tomlin. They're having a worship service there that my oldest son and I are going to there. And then this Sunday, I'll be ministering as well back to Louisville, Kentucky, ministering there at Churchman's Chapel. So we got a full week this week scheduled on our calendar. So we appreciate your support and your partnership and your prayers to this ministry. So God bless you guys, and Lord willing, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines. Thank you.